Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, where you will learn how to integrate metaphysical concepts with practical business strategies. Let's face it, life gets easier when you allow yourself to live an authentic, fulfilling, and prosperous life. You're about to hear an uplifting show packed with ideas and concepts that you will want to remember, so grab paper and pen and let's get started. Hello, everyone. It's always so fun to come into an applause, a cheering audience. I hope you're doing great. Welcome to the show today. You're listening to Soul to Profit Radio, and I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I am so happy to have you join us today for a conversation that is going to inspire and educate you on how to make work not seem like work. I mean, after all, nobody really likes to work. I mean, let's face it, especially if your work involves something that is uninspiring to you, then it can feel like drudgery, and we don't want that for you, and chances are you don't want that for yourself either. So today, my guest and I are going to assist you to reframe that word called work and to align with who you really are. My guests and I are taking callers, so if you have a work-related question, please dial area code 626-231-0306. And if you're in the States, you can call toll-free 877-633-9454. Again, that's area code 877-633-9454. And without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to my very special guest today, who I've been looking forward to having on my show for months. My guest today is Lisa Manini. Lisa is president of Accelerate Associates and founder of the Accelerate Success Institute, the go-to training resource for small business owners. Known in over 11 countries, she is the best-selling author of Me, Myself, and Why, and co-author of Leading Women, published by Adams Media. Her articles on lead generation and natural hardwiring have been published on the Huffington Post, Career Builder, and Rain Today. Pick up her ebook, Get More Clients Now, Three Steps to More Clients, More Money in a Business You Love at Accelerate Associates, that's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Soul to Profit Radio.
Hi, Jaden. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Great. You know, anytime the sun is out, it's a great day.
Exactly. And where in the world are you calling in from?
Today I'm calling in from sunny Michigan.
All right.
We've got a lot of snow on the ground. It's, you know, it's as long as the sun is out, I don't care how cold it is.
Exactly. Yeah, same here. We're in British Columbia, and the sun is shining, and it's almost like springtime. It's quite remarkable. The lake is melting very quickly.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year.
It is. So, and I know you're headed to Hawaii, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, because I want you to share with our listeners a little more about your program, because I know it's amazing and tons of value there. But before we get into that, Lisa, can you please share a little bit about your story and how you got started with Accelerate Associates?
Oh, I'd love to. Sure. Yeah, about 12 years ago, before I had my own business, I was working in the corporate world and did that for about 19 years. And, you know, worked my way up the ladder and was working with a lot of organizational change, whether it was a merger, or acquisition, a divestiture, whatever it was. But there's just a lot of change happening. And I remember one day the decision was made to dismantle the division that I worked in. And we had grown it for 3 years, and then suddenly they said, "Oh, well, we changed our mind. We're gonna dismantle it now." So I had to lay a lot of great people off, including myself. And I remember a lot of people saying to me, "You know, Lisa, you really should own your own business. You really intuitively coach people through a process, and you did a great job." And I thought to myself, Jaden, I thought, well, what do I know about starting my own business? I've been an employee my entire life. And I was at a crossroads. And I remember driving to a networking appointment. It was a cold December day. As I was driving to this networking appointment, I'm thinking to myself, gee, is starting a business and writing a book, is it the right decision? And in that moment, suddenly something popped up from the freeway. It headed straight at me. I closed my eyes, put my hands in front of my face, heard this big whooshing sound and then dinging going around in my front seat. I opened my eyes to find a shattered windshield, a softball-sized hole in the windshield, and a 4-foot, 5-pound semi-truck's tire iron in the front seat of my car. And all the while I'm saying, I'm okay. I got out to the side of the road. I landed in a parking lot, and I called the police. And, you know, while I was waiting for them to arrive, and I got out of the car, I shook off all the shards of glass, although not a scratch on me. And it was then that I realized just how lucky I was. There was a 6-inch gash in the steel hood of the car that tire iron peeled open, kind of like a hot knife on butter. It actually changed the trajectory of that tire iron, missing me by 4 inches. And each police officer came on scene that day. They looked at me. They looked at the original trajectory of that tire iron. And they each said, well, lady, you're on this earth for a reason. And moments before, I had been asking, gee, is starting a business and writing a book the right decision? and I think I had to get a very impactful moment followed by three police officers to tell me, you're on this earth for a reason. And I wrote the book, Me, Myself, and Why, The Secrets to Navigating Change, which became a bestseller next to Jack Canfield's Chicken Soup for the Soul and John Gray's Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And I started my business, and I realized there were a lot of things that I intuitively did that I could teach others, but I didn't know that I intuitively did them. And I can tell you more about that.
Yeah, wow, that's an incredible story. And that's a very clear sign, isn't it? When you have that thought process of, Do I do this? You know, you're at a crossroads, and then the universe gives you a very clear signal of, okay, yeah, pay attention. This is there's a reason that you're here. So take us back to the time when you were early on in your business, shortly after the tire iron story, and you were starting out. Can you think of something that was really impactful that helped you gain traction in your business? It might have been, you know, some kind of marketing effort you did, some kind of campaign. I mean, was there something that you said, wow, this made a huge difference in my business?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times we want to look outside ourselves for the best and the latest marketing thing. And what I didn't realize that it was unconscious was I had a mentor that early on asked me, because I was a little frustrated at first because I didn't have the volume of clients. I mean, I had clients, but I, you know, being an overachiever, wanted more. And at that time, I had a mentor ask me. He said, you know, so Lisa, what's your frustration here? What's your close rate? What's your conversion rate when you talk to people? I said, well, you know, it's not that good. Now, mind you, I'd never been in sales before, ever in my life, because when I was in corporate, I wasn't in sales. And he said, well, what is it? I can help you. You know, what is it? And I said, it's only 80%. And he looked at me sideways, and he said, that's kind of the, yeah, he started laughing.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that's really good, Lisa. What are you doing? And I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? And he said, you know, that's a really good close rate. And he said, 80% of the people register with you. And I realized at that moment that I was doing some things right and uniquely. And the one thing that I realized I was doing uniquely is because of my background in the behavioral sciences, I used a lot of assessments, and I would teach people how they were naturally wired, and there's a lot of them out there. I use one now called Acumax Index, which is the only one on the market that really looks at measures and reports on your natural hardwiring. And I delivered information the way the other person wanted to receive it. And I was doing this just intuitively. And I just learned how to do that over the years. And I realized it was also something that I could teach. And something that I realized early on that my clients were really frustrated with because they weren't aligning the work with their natural hardwiring. And so it's like swimming upstream in mud when you're trying to execute a business model that is contrary to how you, who are naturally hardwired a certain way, will execute. Because your hardwiring is part of your biology. You're born with it. And it emerges about 2 years old. It stays with you your entire lifetime. You know, and you process things because of your hardwiring the way you do, because of that hardwiring. You think about things in a certain way. You communicate in a certain way. And people will tell you how they are naturally hardwired. You just have to notice and listen for it. And there's certain cues that people will give you. If you listen closely enough and you become a very active listener, they will tell you how they want their information.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about the hardwiring, because is that the aspect that you're referring to which will help make work not seem like work?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people think the latest marketing thing that's out there, it's really about executing what you have to offer in your unique way that will attract your ideal clients. And usually it's through a signature program, signature system, and your hardwiring is a unique key to that. And so, again, it's something you're born with. So how about if we maybe go through a little kind of demonstration of it? Would that help?
That'd be great, yeah.
Okay, great. So here's a great example. So I had a client who was naturally hardwired as someone who loved to go out and get new contracts for his business. He would go out, get new business, drum out business. He loved it. It's kind of the hunt and conquer. And, you know, when we looked at his profile, you know, he was this high in the autonomy scale. So he loved to go out and create and act on his own ideas. He loved to get the sale. And that's what he was really good at. He had a company that did computer repair. And so he would go out and hunt and conquer. Then he would come back into his business after he got this new contract. And then he would actually be repairing the computers, which is really detail-oriented work, very methodical, which was completely opposite of how he was naturally wired. So what happened? He was very de-energized, right, because he couldn't do what he naturally loved to do. Now, and he didn't like that part of his business, you know, getting into the detail work. So I said, you know, how about if you restructure? You go out and hunt and conquer. You have independent contractors or employees, depending on how you structure your business, do the work for you. And he's like, wow, that would be awesome. And within 30 days, he had over a 40% increase in his profitability by doing it that way, because he then expanded his ability to go out, get new contracts, because he wasn't busy fulfilling those contracts. He had other people supporting his business to do it that were wired that way. Since he was wired and he loved to go out there and get new contracts, they didn't like to do that part, but they did like to do the troubleshooting of the computers. And that's just one example of why it's important to really align your work with who you are.
That's perfect. So is there an easy way for people to discover what they're naturally good at or naturally inclined to do?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, just notice. And what we could do, you know, is we could go through, I could do sort of a summary of four of them, and, you know, people might recognize themselves in one of them. Would that be helpful?
That would be very helpful, yeah. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, great. So if you identified with the example that I just had, somebody who's really high on the autonomy scale, you love to create and act on your own ideas. I'll call you the expediter. You love to go out and you love to create and act on your own ideas. In fact, you think your ideas are the best ideas. And if that causes you any sorts of angst when I say that, that's probably not you then. People that are high on the autonomy scale say, yeah, my idea usually is the best idea. and they have that internal self-confidence, right? And they love, they're all about the results. They love their information in bullet points, and they're big picture people. And so if that is naturally who you are, not who you can be or adapt to be, those are about behaviors. And behaviors, as we know, is part of your nurture, things that were nurtured over the years. This is what I'm talking about is part of your nature. And so this is where you would naturally go. And when you get under stress, you will go to these places and it will become amplified. So what does an expediter look like that's amplified? Well, he or she is all about the results. They can be very authoritative and kind of tell you what to do versus ask you what to do when they get under a tremendous amount of stress. So that's one of the features of hardwiring. The second one that we'll go through is what's called the external thinker. I like to call it the external thinker. What you're really high on the communication scale. And when you're really high on the communication scale, you derive your energy from face-to-face communication. That's why when a lot of entrepreneurs start an at-home business and they're so de-energized, if they're in this quadrant of an external thinker and they're high on that scale, they innately need the face-to-face communication. And when they don't get it, they are de-energized. I've got a great example of this in a hotel that wanted to hire external thinkers in their reservations department. Now, what do reservations departments do all day, Jaden? Do you know in the hotels, do you know what they do? They're on the phone.
Well, I would think they're on the phone taking reservations from people.
Exactly. And so when they're on the phone taking reservations, that's not face-to-face interaction.
Right.
And so what they were experiencing is all those people they were hiring that were wired that way ended up leaving the reservations department in a very short period of time. In fact, they had 99% turnover. And those people weren't necessarily leaving the hotel, but they were going to places in the hotel where they would get the face-to-face communication, which is the front desk.
Front desk, yeah.
Front desk, you're right on. Sales. And they would go into those places. They were naturally drawn there because that's part of their natural wiring, so it looked like more fun, right? They got that,
Lisa,
that interaction done each day.
Yeah, would you refer to these people? Are these the people persons kind of thing?
They do, but they derive, a lot of people think, external thinkers are talkers. Well, everybody talks and everybody thinks. But, yes, they derive their energy from that face-to-face interaction. So a lot of people frame them as people.
mm-hmm.
But even external thinkers need their alone time, their think time, right? They get their energy from other people. That's why when they go to networking, they're like, yes, and they almost have to come down after networking because they're so energized by it. And it really is that face-to-face communication.
Excellent.
The third quadrant would be more of the cultivators. Now, as a cultivator, you're going to be more methodical. And you're going to be a people person in a different way. You're going to be more cultivating long-term relationships. So you're going to be much more methodical, Your ability, it's what I call the sitability factor, your ability to create processes or look at existing processes and see where they can be improved. Now, the earlier example I gave you with the hotel, and they were hiring people that, you know, were external thinkers and wondering why they had so much turnover. In fact, what they really wanted to hire were these cultivators, because cultivators are warm and friendly. And they also have the sitability factor to be able to answer the phones all day, right? So it gets you much more methodical, and they create sequence. They create sequence in their environment. And so cultivators are much more methodical in their approach. Now, the last one is the assessors. And assessors like to cross their T's, they dot their I's, they seek a lot of information before they make a decision. In fact, before they even work with you, they'll probably check you out on the website or even call your references. They are very thorough, and they produce work of very high quality. Now imagine if this is in your profile. And depending on how dominant it is in your profile, you know, what are some of the pitfalls in being an entrepreneur? Well, you'll take calculated risks, but sometimes you might miss the boat, because in the assessor quality is you're a bit of a perfectionist, right? And you have that perfectionist quality. So you really want to try to make the right decision all the time. And as entrepreneurs, Jaden, I know you know this, you can't always have everything perfect, but yet this is your natural hardwiring. And so people, no matter what your quadrant is, no matter where you fall, there are going to be some times where you need to manage it depending on who your prospect is and or get it met. I got a great example of a client who was in this last quadrant, the assessor quadrant. And she, in fact, that was her highest driver, okay? And she was really struggling. And she said, Lisa, I'm bringing in leads, but I can't convert them to a client. So we went through her process, her whole sales process, and I said, we go through the preferred client profile, it's called. I teach this at the Wake Up Profitable. And it's a whole series of questions about your ideal client to get you really clear about who that is. And so as we're going through that, we looked at the attributes. And the attributes we also put in there, the hardwiring, like who are your ideal clients in terms of their hardwiring. And what we realized is they were in that first quadrant, the expediter. So who she was attracting, because she did lead generation sites and websites, so who she attracted was those expediters who didn't want to do the website themselves, right? They were big picture people. They're like, here, I'm going to pay you to get it done. And when she realized that, there was this aha moment, and she was delivering a lot of information to these people that wanted their information in bullet points and high level and quickly. So we changed the way that she was delivering her packages, and I said, you need them in bullet points, you need to provide it quickly, you need to identify, just ask them a few questions about what they're looking for, and you will get the sale. She calls me the first month. She closed on 100% of her sales the first month. The second month, same thing. The third month, the same thing. 3 months, 100% of everybody she talked to, she converted into one of her packages. The third month, she called me, Jaden, and she said, I can tell from her voice when I answered the phone, she said, I didn't close somebody today. I said, well, what happened? She said, I think I know what happened. I think I gave him too much information. So she didn't manage her natural hardwiring. And he didn't close. Well, the interesting thing is she gives me permission to tell this as a case study. And a gentleman came up to me after one of my speaking engagements, and he said, hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm the person she didn't close. And he said, and you are spot on. He said, I was so confused after our conversation. I was so filled, I couldn't make a decision. So this goes to, you know, to say a confused mind never buys. And each
Lisa,
quadrant needs something a little bit different, too.
That is powerful. And so early on you said that you need to develop the skill of listening really well to discover, you know, who your target or ideal clients and what quadrant they fit in. So what are a couple clues that people give that help determine which quadrant that they fit in?
Say that again.
What are a few clues? Like, so if you and I are having a conversation and our listener, or, you know, so what are a few clues that we can kind of clue in on as we're engaged in a conversation with someone to determine mm-hmm. how they naturally process information?
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So if I'm in the, let's take these one at a time. The first group, expediters. First of all, when they walk into a room, you really want to notice two things. Number one, you want to notice how they're delivering their information, and two, you want to notice the content of their delivery. And we do a very interactive program usually, and it's real fun. I get everybody into the different quadrants, and we do this exercise, and you know, it works every time. People will put certain things on their list in this exercise I do based on their hardwiring. And expediters, when they walk into a room, you're going to see a sense of surety and confidence. You also might see the sense of intensity when they walk into a room. They're likely when they extend their hand to you, they're not only going to say, hi, you know, my name is Jaden. They're going to say, hi, my name is Jaden Sterling. So they're going to use their first and their last name.
Yes. That's hilarious. I even do that when I talk to people on the phone who I don't even know. Hi, it's Jaden Sterling.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're going to say your first and your last name. So that's kind of one clue that they're an expediter, and they like their information in really high level. And they're probably going to talk in terms of high level. They're going to ask questions very high level, like what's the percentage? It's going to be very either task-oriented in some cases, or it's going to be very percentage-driven or tangible. It's going to be tangible stuff, right? Like percentages or high level or the economy, or, you know, there's going to be very big picture conversation. So just notice that. The external thinkers, wow, they're going to, and depending on how much of this they have in them, they generally will have they'll be more animated in their discussion. They may have a lot of people in a networking event around them. Men and women, they're going to dress more trendy in more vibrant colors, and they're going to be expressive. So when they describe something, like they're describing an event, they're not just going to say blue. They're going to say, you know, it was aqua blue. And they almost paint a verbal word picture when they're talking. And they will likely greet you with a smile on their face, and they'll, again, be much more expressive when they're talking.
Excellent.
The cultivators are going to be more, they've been described their entire life as nice. Cultivators like to make a list, and they do that list in the order in which they make the list. And a cultivator will have a cadence about them. Generally, you know, it's funny, when I met a client one time and I greeted him at my reception desk, and I'm like, come on to my office, and here I am, you know, scuttling back to my office, and he was taking very purposeful, like there was a cadence to his walk. So that was a cue for me that, oh, I need to ask this person how their weekend was, because they're going to be more social in a personal kind of way. Like, you know, treat me, I want to be treated like a real person. Tell me, I want to get to know you personally. And cultivators generally will. They'll be chatty. They'll be very nice because all their life they've been told they're very nice people. And they're going to be much, you know, their cadence and even the way they talk might be a little bit, you know, more methodical or slower, right? They're going to, that's the way they're going to approach things. And that's why they produce long-term relationships, right? They're in it for the long term. And they usually belong to clubs or social groups. And then finally you have the assessors. And assessors are going to be more reserved. They're going to come into a networking event and they might just sit down, sit next to somebody they already know. And one thing you want to be very careful of, and you'll know this because they're probably going to be more dressed reserved. They're going to want to make sure they say the right thing. So as they talk to you, they're going to be very careful in how they ask you a question. And, you know, they'll even say things like, you know, I just want to, you know, make sure I do this right. Whatever that is, they're, you know, oh, I just want to make sure I fill out this card right. Is this right? You know, they're very concerned about doing things right. And they're going to extend a hand. You want to extend your hand and give them ample space. If you get too close to them too quickly, you're going to get in their space. And people naturally hardwired to be more of the assessors, you know, they're going to be more reserved, so they want to get to know you first. And so it's important to have that personal space between each other. So you want to extend your hand a little bit longer than you may with some of the other people, some of the other quadrants.
Wow, this is really powerful, Lisa.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that when people, you know, as my clients learn this, what becomes so effortless is, oh, I can structure my business this way and it'll work more for me. Yep. Oh, I don't have to be somebody else during a sales process. I just need to be focused on who my client is and authentically deliver information the way they want to serve. You're serving somebody at such a high level when you can deliver information the way they want it. And the conversation is easy. It's just easy when you get, and they feel gotten. And they really feel, like my clients will say, you so get me. And there's no judgment because it's not good. It's not bad. It's just the way you were wired. And we're all wired with this. I think we're all wired, personally, Jaden, I think we're wired this way so that we can get our big contribution in the world in our unique way.
Yeah, because it seems to me this process is a process of connecting with people in a way that is most comfortable for them, in a way that they can feel heard and understood. And then it takes the sales out of the equation, doesn't it? Because it's a matter of, you know, what you have to offer. And if it's in alignment with the person that you're sitting with, then great, they'll act on it. If not, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why it's really important to be clear about who your ideal client is. You know, whenever there's a, you know, disconnect, you know, chances are they're not your ideal client, right? And you feel that, you almost feel that. So, and this is about being who you are authentically and allowing the space for your client to be who they are. And there's a synergy that happens in the conversation that, oh, you get me. And it's not this, you know, I have to say this and I have to make sure I say this then, you know, in the sales process, which feels icky anyway, and you know that the prospects feel that.
Oh, for sure they do. And it's uncomfortable for everyone involved, and it's, to me, it's old school. It's like, you know, the days of the hard sell and the pressure, and everyone, you know, we've all experienced that, and it's not an enjoyable process. So let's go back. There's something that you said was spot on, and that is be clear who your ideal client is. Do you find that our ideal client is similar in the way that we're wired naturally? I mean, is that a congruent thing or no?
Well, no, not necessarily. In the example that I gave with Jane, who is the assessor, so Jane's an assessor by her nature. She's very detail-oriented, produces work of very high quality, and her ideal clients that she attracts are actually the expediters, which are completely opposite of who she is. And the reason for that is because she provides, you know, the websites, right? And she does that detail orientation work, her and her team do. But her ideal clients are those people that don't even want to be bothered with it. They just want to see the end result. I just want to, you know, a functional website, and this is what I want, and this is what I want it to do, you know, very high arching. So does she need to manage her hardwiring at times to work with her clients? Absolutely. And what happens is it ends up being, because she understands that, because she understands how her clients are wired, she's not getting frustrated, and she sets it up. So at one point, she sets up her business so that she can get what she needs too. So she needed much more detail, right, to be able to get a scope of work. And I said, great. I said, but you have to make sure it's in, you know, very quick, fast, and something they can just go through and click. And she said, oh, what she was sending them before was like a 20-page document to fill out. And I thought, okay, you know, that's not going to work. I said, it's got to be fast. You know, and as a methodical person herself, because she was both methodical in the cultivator and the assessor, you know, she needed this information, innately needed this information. But here's how she can still get it, and she can get it in a quick way to be able to provide a quote for some of her, you know, some of her, a scope of work for some of her clients. But again, this is why it's really important to understand how people want to receive their information and just have the psychographics of your ideal client. And most people don't look at the psychographics of their ideal client.
What's psychographic mean?
Yeah,
never heard
psychographics,
that term.
Psychographics are those attributes. And your hardwiring is based on what's called psychometrics. And a psychometric is, well, colors are a psychometric. Like, we will ping positively with some colors and ping negatively with other colors. Perfume is a psychometric. And that's why when we walk into, you know, a store, and, you know, I might say, oh, I love this perfume, and you might go, oh, this is repulsive, because some perfumes ping you negatively and some will ping you positively. Well, it's the same way when determining attributes. Your attributes of your hardwiring are determined or based on some words. Words are psychometrics. And some words will ping you positively, and some will ping you negatively. The negative ones you won't check in the Acumax Index. When we give out the Acumax Index, the words that ping you negatively you won't check. The ones that you ping positively you will check. And so that's how you get your hardwiring profile. And what's interesting about that is over time you will notice your ideal client's psychographics, and your hardwiring is part of that. And so that's why Jane was able to say, oh, you know, that my best clients that I ever had were wired this way. And she could tell just by working with them over time, and she's been coming to my Wake Up Profitable since we did it 6 years ago. So she's really incorporated some of these concepts into her business.
Wow, that's excellent. Let's talk a little bit about that event. It's in Hawaii this year, correct?
It is, yes.
Awesome. You must be excited. And what are the dates?
April 28th and 29th. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what island?
We're going to be in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, in Waikiki Beach. And it's, you know, it's 2 days. In 2 days, I will show business owners what's called a systems approach to profitability. And when I say that, you think, systems? Computers? Yeah, that's part of it. But it really is a holistic way of looking at your business. And there's three steps: mastering your inner entrepreneur, systematizing and monetizing your business, and executing what's called your business blueprint. It's an existence system that reverse engineers your results so that you walk out of there knowing, not guessing, knowing how you're going to get to where you really want to be. And in mastering your inner entrepreneur, what we do is I walk people through the hardwiring piece and how to set up their business based on how they are naturally hardwired. And we look at belief systems and your preferred client profile. And all of that is so important then to systematizing and monetizing your business, because your marketing messages, remember those words I mentioned? Those words are the people that you want to attract then need to be in your marketing messages and formatted a certain way.
Wow, powerful. And do you still have openings for that?
I do, I do. They can go to wakeupprofitable.com, wakeupprofitable.com, and we're sponsored by the Betty Brigade, Marketing Monsoon, Evolutionary Business Council, and the Holistic Chamber of Commerce. And so Holistic Chamber members, Evolutionary Business Council members can register at the sponsored guest rate. And we extended also that to veterans. So veterans can also register at the sponsored guest rate. And the each registration goes to support Kokoa Care Foundation that provides home care and dementia services to the Hawaiian community and veterans. So I'm just really excited about that, because supporting nonprofits and causes really is part of my bigger contribution that I'm making in the world.
Yeah, I really like that about you. I know that about you, and I feel like that's a really impactful, powerful difference that you're making for others. So good for you. That's awesome, Lisa. I know you're going to have an incredible event. I wish I could be there. I'm going to be traveling during that time, but I'll be there in spirit, sending you some amazing energy, and everyone in the audience as well. And that's exciting. And where can people go to register for that?
Yeah, they can go to wakeupprofitable.com, wakeupprofitable.com, learn all about the conference, what they're going to learn there, how we systematize and monetize their business. There's just really, it's amazing in 2 days how much people transform their businesses. I mean, we've had people that have had, their first five-figure monthly income in 120 days. You know, 40% in upwards of more than 40% increase in their productivity because they learned how to revamp their business based on their hardwiring. It's just really amazing to see, and to see how people are taking their big contribution in the world, and getting really present to what that big contribution is. My contribution that I have in the world I believe when business owners are really successful, they're kind-hearted and great souls, and they give back, and they give back to causes and nonprofits. And then those causes and nonprofits, they go out and they help their community. So you get this trickle effect. And through that trickle effect, those people that have been helped get what that's like, and they pay it forward. And through that, we can have world peace. And the context under which I'm doing this is that we have world peace. And when everyone, your listeners, you get really in touch with what their big contribution is, there is nothing we can't accomplish as a world that we can't accomplish. And that's what, through these 2 days, they're going to get really in touch with not only what that big contribution is, but literally a roadmap to get them there and get them on the road to making sure that big contribution becomes a reality.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it doesn't matter what phase of business they're in, correct? I mean, this really applies to startups, to businesses that are seasoned, and it can really impact any level.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. You're right. It is for anyone. Startups as well as experienced businesses. We have businesses in there, that have up to 200 employees. And the reason for that is a systems approach is really a framework. And it's a framework under which you plug in your things and you move it to the next level. So we have a number of people that come back year after year because they apply the system differently depending on where they are in their business.
Wow, fantastic. Good. Well, we still have a little time left. I don't want to have you go yet because I still have a lot more questions for you. So, Lisa, tell us, I know you travel quite a bit with your work, and you're experiencing a lot in terms of working with business owners and professionals. Tell us, what is the biggest frustration that businesses are experiencing right now, and what do you suggest doing to overcome that?
Well, ask any business owner, hey, how you doing? And what do you get? I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. Great. I get that you're busy. But are you profitable? And so I think the biggest frustration right now, and I know you work with business owners too, so I'm sure you hear this, Jaden, and you got to ask, how's your profitability? Because if you're bringing in a million, a half a million, whatever you're bringing in, but most of that is going to your expenses, something's not, there's something amiss, right? And they're working a lot. Like, they're working, yet they're working too hard. And oftentimes it's because they simply don't have the systems in their business or connected the systems in their business. Like, they're taking that bits and pieces approach when in reality there's a disconnect. I'll give you a really simple, because taking a systems approach is looking at how things are connected in your business. But a major disconnect that I see all the time is when people, they're like networking fiends, right? They go networking. I'm networking. I don't understand. I'm so busy. I can't attend another networking. But then they're not connecting that networking with other systems in their business. And I'll give you a great example of that. They go to networking. They collect all those business cards, and they go back to their office. And that's where their business cards land, in a graveyard box of business cards that they do nothing with. Now, what if they systematized their networking and their follow-up? Number one. A great way to systematize your networking. Number one, you go to the networking, that's one touch point. You met somebody in person. Great, that's one touch point. Number two, you collected their business card. Before you leave that event, with cards that you might have in your car, self-addressed envelopes, say, nice to meet you at such and such an event. Then on your way back to your office, drop them in the mailbox. In a couple days, they're going to receive that from you and remember that they met you. That's the second touch point. The third touch point is when you go back to your office. Now, as you go back to your office, you connect with them on social media. Now you're exponentially expanding your networking and have it work for you rather you for it. Now, if they decide, maybe you got a free gift that they can get, if they decide to opt in, great, do not add them to your list.
Exactly.
Opt in.
Highlight that.
Don't you see that all the time, Jaden? I'm sure you do.
All the time, yeah.
And so if they do, then they're a prospect. So it's nice to have a follow-up system, a systematic way of giving continuous value. And if you don't, then that's a system that's missing. And if it's not connected to your other systems, then that's a missing. But one of the big things is that person may not be your prospect, but they may be a good referral source for you. So then do you have a referral system, one that keeps in touch with your referrals so that you can keep them up to date, even though you may not see them for a networking event, but you keep them up to date. And maybe not through email, but maybe through mail, maybe once a quarter. And that way you can keep your referral sources in the loop in how your business is growing, what you're doing for people. I get one all the time from this one business owner. She connects people, businesses, and she finds space for them, office space for them. And every quarter she's telling me about who she's helping and how she's helped them, and that keeps her top of mind. So your systems really are designed not only to keep in touch, but to keep top of mind, so that when people are ready, you're the go-to person that they think of for the solution for that person, whether it's themselves or their referral.
That's excellent. And there's got to be a balance, too, between high-tech and high-touch. Don't you agree?
Totally agree. Completely agree. And, you know, a lot of, people really underestimate how powerful the mail can be, regular mail, not, you know, the snail mail. It can be much more effective than email because people are overloaded. But also having a call. Call up your referral partners, people that have given you business, and even send them a gift or a little coffee card so they can get coffee at their favorite place. These are all parts of nurturing your referral networks and even people. My clients, sometimes I randomly call people that are my clients. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? And I may not always get in touch with them, but I leave a message, and they're amazed. They're like, you called me.
Yeah. Who does that?
And it's like, really? People don't. I guess not, but I do. And I know it makes a real big difference. And it might only be a five-minute call, and, you can't get to the hundreds and hundreds of people, that I work with, but I do make it a point to get to people every so often to just randomly pick someone.
That's really powerful because you're delivering value, you're letting that person know that you care for them, keeping in touch. That's Gary Vaynerchuk. Do you follow Gary's work?
No, I don't.
Oh, you'd really like him. He's a huge social media expert, and he will tweet out a tweet saying to his followers, send me your phone number and I'll call the first five people back. And he does that. He'll call five people every so often, if he's in the back of a cab or something, he's got a few minutes. And people go nuts over that. They love it because of, first of all, he's super busy guy and not someone that would normally reach out to people or have the time because he has a 600-person ad agency out of New York City. Yeah, things like that make a difference. And I know you walk your talk because you sent me a postcard. After I was on your radio show, I got a postcard from you about your event in April. And I've kept it on our kitchen. We have a kitchen counter bar thing. And I've kept it there because I was so impressed with that because I've never, Lisa, now I've been in this industry, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. No one has ever sent me anything like that, in the mail. Everyone's always email or, and so it really does set people apart because, mail is just a lost art these days.
It really is. And again, when it's systematized, when it's a regular way to do that, and this is why it's really important, too, to understand, who your ideal clients are, who your referral partners are, because it's going to make a difference. And in the kind of cards that you send them. Just to track, one time I sent to all my referrals a letter that just said, hey, how you doing? Hey, this is what I have in my database. We just did a mail merge. This is what I have in my database on who your ideal clients are. Is this correct? And I got so many responses like, thank you so much. And as a matter of fact, we're now, going after this niche. This is a better ideal client for me. So we were able to update our database to make sure it was up to date. And they thought, wow, you want to know how to send referrals to us. Great. And so it was that reciprocity that is just part of business and part of caring for people, because I often say I deeply deeply care, and I love my clients. I mean, I get to work with some of the most fantastic people. I'm sure you do too, Jaden. Like the most fantastic people in the world, and I'm just so thankful for that every single day.
Yeah, I hear you, Lisa. I feel the same way too, definitely. And share with our listeners, I know you have a terrific ebook called Get More Clients Now, 3 Steps to More Clients, More Money in a Business You Love, and I hear it's complimentary. So
yes.
Tell our listeners, how can they find that?
Yeah, they can find it right on my website at accelerateassociates.com. Again, E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And that's a personal lesson. Make sure you name your website something you don't have to spell. Wish I knew that 12 years ago. Learning moment. And, yeah, they can get more clients now. It tells them more about the system's approach to profitability. And kind of walks them through the 7 steps to systematize and monetize their business. And that's just it also helps them really discover. It's got a couple assessments in there, and it really helps them uncover where they are in starting their own business if they're just starting their business. But there's also things in there like a free business plan, and also information about what are the key ways to systematize your business.
Excellent. That's powerful. So everyone listening today and in the archives going forward, I highly recommend go to Lisa's new site. It's an awesome site. She's done a huge revamp of it, and you'll enjoy all the valuable content on there. And Lisa, you have 60 seconds. Tell us any last-minute nugget you'd like to leave our listeners with.
Sure. When you work in alignment with who you are, it's not work. And you can be that much more productive. And the reality is your profitability is in your productivity.
Oh, I like that. Your profitability is in your productivity, not in your busyness.
Right.
I had to add a little bit
right,
on there.
Exactly.
Awesome, Lisa. You have been such an incredible guest. Thank you so much for joining us on Soul to Profit Radio. And we look forward to having you back on future shows.
I would love to. And you got to come on mine.
Yep. Well, I'll get back on there for sure. Thanks, Lisa. Great. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go, everyone. The wonderful Lisa Manini. She's fantastic. You heard all of her pearls of wisdom. You can tell she's so about bringing value and content, wonderful content to her followers and everyone who attends her events. Speaking of events, I am back in Calgary. Let me look at my calendar. Is it next Thursday? No. When am I there? I am there March the 26th in the evening for a special event at Self Connection Books. Please join us. There's about 7 seats left. I think it's selling out fairly quickly. I'm actually doing a channeling evening. I communicate with a host of non-physical beings it's a group of high vibration ascended masters and really incredible energies that always deliver amazing content and advice for people. And so I am now, for the first time ever, going to do an event where I channel their what they have to say for audience members, and you can bring your most pressing personal or professional question. The group that I work with are high-level business entities, I guess I'll call them that. So the information they have is always relevant and incredibly empowering and inspiring to help move your business forward. So join us, Self Connection Books. You can find out more information about that event if you go to Facebook and just click on my Facebook page, which is Jaden Sterling's Wealth and Wisdom. And I have a whole host of information about that event. Again, that is March 26th in the evening, 6:30 to 8:30 in Calgary. It's a live event. I'll be there and working with my team of spiritual professionals called The One Voice. And what else? As you know, as I mentioned previously, that I am transitioning the show to the OM Times platform, and we're excited about that. That is in the works now. That should be live the beginning of, the middle of April. I'll be back on the radio full-time then in OM Times. Until then, I'll plug in with you all through shows and have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.